So our alimud of Hilchos Chofetz Chaim is the Zchus Refuah of Yosef Ben Chayla. He should have a Refuah Shleima B'Korev. So we're going through the various heterim of listening to Loshon Hara Lo Toyeles, and the Chofetz Chaim comes up with another one, another category, if you like. Till now we've had if it's for a shidduch, if it's for business, or if it is in order to put the person right, you need to speak to somebody, somebody else should speak to him. Another one he speaks about is if you want to calm somebody down, that your wife is upset about something that happened, and she wants to tell you about it, and you're going to be her counsellor, and you're going to listen to her, you're going to tell her that maybe it isn't as bad as she thought, maybe you can calm her down, maybe you can make her feel better about it, or you might even empathize with her and say she's absolutely right, and that she's absolutely right, and she's right to be upset, and that will make her feel better. So he says, in that sort of situation, a person would be allowed. So generally speaking, there's no heter whatsoever.
What is she saying, your wife?
She's saying, I was at school this week.
Yeah,
I was at school today, right? Somebody came up to me, and my wife told me once, for instance, that she was at school this week, and another member of the staff, she was like walking behind somebody else. They went through one of these swing doors, and the other member of staff let the door slam in her face, so to speak, behind. Or somebody came up to her and insulted her, or she's got, whatever it is, things happen in school all the time. So she wants to come home and she wants to tell me about the things that have happened in school. And some of it is going to be Lashon Hara about a particular individual. In that particular case, she could say that a member of the staff, without saying who did it. But sometimes you've got to say who did it as well in order to be able to. And then I might be able to listen to her, I might be able to calm her down, I might be able to put a different angle on it, and if I can't put a different angle on it, I might at least be able to empathise and to calm her down, because at the moment, she's very upset. And I suppose the Chofetz Chaim doesn't say so, but the Chofetz Chaim says clearly that there's no heter whatsoever to speak Lashon Hara to your wife, right? To tell Lashon Hara to a wife. Between husband and wife, although there are no secrets, there's no heter to speak Lashon Hara. But he says, in this particular case, where she is upset and she's hurt, and you might be able to calm her down and make her feel better, then, and who Adin, I suppose, he doesn't say so, but I suppose a counsellor, or a psychiatrist, or anybody else who listens to somebody else, you listen, you analyse, and you try and put a better aspect to it so that the person feels better. And therefore, he says, that would be a heter, that would be another example of Lashon Hara Lo Toyeles. That I'm telling, again, with the rules of Lashon Hara Lo Toyeles, which we will learn again, which we all know, which is the general rules, you mustn't exaggerate, you must be accurate, you must mean well, etc., etc. But it's a heter to tell Lashon Hara Lo Toyeles in order to speak to somebody who can make the situation better, hopefully, and can either put you a new face on it, or empathise and make you feel better.
Sure.
Start to the Jewway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Ishvach Pesach, Kaf Gimel Nissen, 8th day of the Omer, 1st of May, Rabbi Amram Lander, Shlita, Acharei Mos, and Ishvach Life After Death. This week's Torah with Pontin and Nishmas, Rabbi Shimon Rechol, Tzvi, Ben Rav Ron, Itzkevich, Ben Rocha, and 10th day of Rabbi Shimon, Itzkevich, Ben Rocha, Yatzai, is on a Friday. Shlos HaShvoyim, Achayolim, Amelchomosh, Shach, Sula, Vatahem, Shalom, Bim Heiro.
Okay, bit trepidation speaking on Yisru Chag. I was asked before Pesach if I would consider speaking about Yisru Chag, and I vacillated between yes and no. Somebody said, the morning after the night before. For those who have the minhag to call it Rumpelnacht, and were rumpeling late into the night, putting the boxes away, somebody called it the graveyard shift, and I thought it was quite apt considering Acharemos and some of the things we're going to speak about. And as I said, I vacillated between thinking there must be loads to speak about with regards to Yisru Chag, and I started looking for various ideas, various makaris, and then found it very difficult to find some ideas. And over Pesach, I had this sefer out and that sefer out, I had the tables strewn with sforim. It looked impressive, at least, even if I couldn't find anything at first. And then suddenly, bit by bit, I suddenly realized that although I couldn't find an actual body of machshava or the like, which speaks about it in great depth in one go, I found things which maybe we can draw together. Because to me, the reason I thought before I'd even known what I was going to speak about, there seemed to be an obvious connection between the concept of leaving a Yom Tov behind and the Sedra that follows. There's always going to be Chazal Tel, there's always going to be a connection anyway with that time of the year, so I was pretty confident I'd find something. But the idea that in Yiddishkeit we don't say, okay, we've done that Yom Tov and now it's time to move on, quote unquote, back to the normal everyday life. We know already. I can't remember if it was in this context that I spoke once before about straight after Yisroi, you have Ve'eila Mishpatim, and in Mishpatim, Rashi comments straight away that the Vov of Ve'eila says just as those were at Har Sinai, also these were at Har Sinai. And if it said Ve'eila, it would be something new. Ve'eila is something that is connected. And you start looking through Mishpatim and you see that you've gone from the sublime of Har Sinai and Royones HaKoilos, etc., which we'll come back to in a few weeks' time at Shavuos. And suddenly you're into slave buying, ear boring, ox goring, pit digging, which seems so mundane, so unspiritual, so unruchni. How could it possibly be connected? And yet Rashi says Ve'eile Mishpatim, just as those at Har Sinai, these are also at Har Sinai. Horaya, that at the end of Mishpatim, it's a deliberate thing, I think, that the Torah does all the way at the end of Mishpatim. That's only then do you actually find Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma doesn't appear in Yisro. You have Nasa, you don't have Nasa V'Nishma, and suddenly you have this a return to Har Sinai after all the apparent mundane, which perhaps other cultures say that there's Ruchni, and that's in one compartment, and then you wear your physical hat, and we understand that we live in HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in a physical world to be malet to the spiritual, and you find things which seem to be even more sublime. By Yechazu Es Elokim, the Sachas Raglov Ke Livnas Hasap, things which we can't even deign to understand. That we it's all part of that. So to say that Yom Tov finishes and we pack the boxes away and then back to sort of the normal everyday life, and then we'll pop back into some Ruchni for Shavuos. It can't be. Even if we didn't have a Sfira which reminds us of this in the first place. The next thing that bothered me, and the truth is, this has bothered me for years. And I think I was annoying quite a few people over Yom Tov, who kept changing the subject every time I asked them, "What does Yisru Chag actually mean? What actually is Yisru Chag?" So a couple of people yesterday, one of my friends sort of moved on to another topic, and like 5 minutes later I said, "Do you remember that question I asked you about what Yisru Chag means?" And he goes, "Yeah, I was hoping you'd forget that you'd asked me that." And it's very, very difficult to find. We can sort of translate it, but even then, you know, Yisru is that Meloshin Issa of being forbidden or tied, and we know where it comes from. We know it's based on what we've been saying for the last 8 days, which is possible from Tehillim. We say it in Hallel. It says Kel Hashem va'yo'er lonu Yisru Chag ba'avoisim ad karnos ha'mizbeach. Now, if you look at Rabbeinu Art Scroll, he translates as basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu illuminated it. Vayo'er lonu, he illuminated to us. And then, Yisru Chag ba'avoisim, bind us for either with the Chag, with whatever Chag means. Does that mean the Korbonos of the Chag? Does that mean something else? But avoisim is with ropes, with cords, ad karnus ha-mizbeach, until the corners of the mizbeach. Doesn't really help as much. It's a bit like when people say, what are tefillin? And you say, well, they're phylacteries. Pardon? Oh, right. So then we have to go to see what Chazal tell us about this. With a plain shot in the posuk, there doesn't seem to be a plain shot in the posuk. As I was saying, when we say...
the posuk, what? Isu,
pardon?
Not the posuk, but I mean the isu. Comes from connected to the
yom. Oh, so this is what Chazal are going to tell us. So we know that the day after is called Isru Chag, but you have to keilu. At first, it looks like you're forcing the pasuk. That's to quote Isru Chag Vavoisim Shedorshu. Chazal explained Kola Oise Isur Lachag Lechog. Anyone who makes a tying, a connection to the Yom Tov that just passed, aguda lechog b'yom shalom ocharosai, somebody who makes an aguda, a bundle to tie it, to connect it to the Yom Tov that passed on the day that follows, ba'achilo ushsio, that's the good news, in case anybody actually, maybe by now it's not seen as good news, I'm not sure. Ma'ale olav akosov ke'ilu bonom izbeach, it's as if the posuk reckons that person as if he has built a mizbeach, the hikriv olav korban, and has brought a korban shenema, as it says, isru chag ba'avoisim, which is still, it's still difficult to work this in. Behemois, ovois, or shmeinois is referring to these fatty animals, and they're tied ad karnas ha-mizbeach. And therefore, l'tfichot, sorich, l'smoich, l'maid, behesped v'tanis, we have this chiev or pseudo chiev, maybe pseudo chiev, even to reduce, to minimize hesped, tarnis, and to eat a bit more and drink a bit more than usual. I presume usual means usual outside of what you were eating and drinking on Yom Tov, as we said. But still, does that really help us? I mean, it sounds to be forcing something through, unless of course we start thinking that we know this concept really. This bit I haven't written down. I think since I've been like jotting down anything that came to my mind that sort of might shed some light. We know the idea of the last day of a Yom Tov, the concept of Shmini Atzeres, you know, stay one day more with me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There seems to be an element of that going on. And then I found it interesting, the Yerushalmi and Avodah Zorah, I didn't have time to look this up fully, but the Makor itself, I just find the Makor, I believe, is in Avodah Zorah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Could be wrong with that, but it's somewhere in that region. And interesting, calls this day Berei de Moyador, which actually means the son of the Moyed, as son as in S-O-N. As if to say, like a Ben is Kori de Av, we know that the son is a continuation of the previous generation. You find lots of, we've spoken about this before, the concept of Evan, it's Av and Ben, the idea of connection between father and son. Evan Mosu Aboinim, the few psukim before, Isru Chag Bavois Makarnos and Mizbeach. But we know that this is somehow meant to be a continuation of the Moed. I think it's probably going to be, and Ben is also Meloshon Binyan, which is to build. So again, it's going to be hinting at the same idea. And as I started thinking more about this, I realized that lots of the different makoros, the different bits and pieces that I was finding, but it's what seemed to be coming towards all the same, the same idea. It was trying to help us understand what this was. And it's quite amazing because every type of makor. I was looking, I have a Chassam Sofer over here, about to quote Rav Henoch of Alexander, a founder of Shimshon Fol Hirsch. It seems to be very different worlds, and they also be converging on similar ideas. So I found in Seach Sarfei Kodesh, Rav Chodin Henoch of Alexander, he explained what the idea of Isru Chag is and why the word Isru is used, Lugabe tying. He gives the moshel of a tailor who creates a very fine garment, and from what I've seen is it just sort of does make sense that if you're tying something and you make something very, you know, beautifully sewn with all, but you don't tie a knot at the end of it. You just pull it out and it's all unraveled. If you don't actually tie a knot, then the actual all the work, all the effort that you put into it, it disappears. The idea of Isru Chag Ba'avoisim is if we're talking about the this Oros that you got from the Yontif, if you are able to tie that to oneself, so to speak, to take that into the rest of the year, then you can remain with those hashpahs. I know that it's many years ago now since I saw this, but I remember 20-something years ago when I was in Kol Torah, and we had a chutznik Shabbos in Tzfas, and I was asked to say a few words as one of perhaps the only Englishmen there. So they asked me to say something, and I said, I'm going to try and be un-English. I started quoting all the Hasidic sources that I could find. I found the Leiv Simcha, who said about the last day of Hanukkah, Zois Chanukas HaMizbeach B'yoyim HiMoshach Oisois. So it's one of the reasons that we call the last day of Hanukkah Zois Chanukah. So what's this Zois Chanukas HaMizbeach B'yoyim HiMoshach Oisois? The day that it was, or he was, it was consecrated, reconsecrated, dedicated. That's the idea of what Zois Chanukah is. So what's going on? So we say over there in Chanukah that Chanukah is unique amongst all the Moedim. It's the only Moed that spans two months. It goes from Kislev into Teves, Miloshen Hatovas Haneris, as the Bnei Yisrael says. The idea that that it's all well and good to be inspired by the light of the menorah, and possibly by the achilosh seal that we're referring to, but certainly by the light of the menorah, and that there are many vertlech that are said about the inspiration of the psilos, the ner, the psilo, and the shemen, that spells out the nefesh of a person that allows even people who are often distant from Yiddishkeit and I'm not even necessarily inspired by Shabbos, which we're zoichet to have every week, and therefore various shemonim and various psilim, which are not allowed for Shabbos, you are allowed to use for Hanukkah, because wherever you come from, however distant, there's always a connection. But the question is, how does that inspiration take you after Hanukkah, after you've packed away the menorah, after your whatever the Hanukkah version is of your Rumpelnacht, that when you've packed it away, are you going to remain inspired? As the Mesillas Yesharim points out, that essentially a flash of inspiration is just that, a flash of inspiration. It lights up the pathway, and then it goes dark. And if your eyes were open, you know roughly which path to take. But if you rely on that as your inspiration, oh, I remember that, then things go cold. It doesn't happen. I've been zocher to go many times to Poland, and I'll often tell the groups that we go with. Firstly, you're not meant to go on a trip, on a journey to a place like that, and start feeling guilty and say, oh, all these Yidden died, therefore I must become frumer. That's not called a Poland trip, it's called a guilt trip. You're meant to see what was it that our enemies found so dangerous for them. What was it in our hashkofas that I can learn about, to think about? And when I think about that, I can link to it. And during the year, I remember a thought that I had in this place, a place I had in Lublin. I could do a whole month without going to a place related to the Holocaust. It's about finding your moments of inspiration, but then taking that with you. Says the Leiv Simcha, b'yom him moshach oisoi, with a ches, etymologically similar, the root similar, hemshech with a ches, similar to hemshech with a chaf, which is to continue. The chaf and the ches is, and we'll see from Rav Hirsch soon, that's not, it's not just a pie in the sky idea. There is something in that when you have similar sounding words. It's how you then draw that into the darkest days of the year, the days of Teves, the 8th, 9th, and 10th of Teves, the three dark days of the year that actually time-wise as well as what historically speaking, it's how you are able to tie that to you. Now, if you bring that back to what we're saying about Isru Chag, it's what Rav Hena of Alexandria is saying, is are you able to tie that, what you got from the Chag, to oneself? Because the inspiration by itself can just dissipate. It can just go. You were fired up by it. You felt warmed by that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then And then it's it can go unless you do something about this. The connections already here, aware of the time trying to do just a bit of justice to Isru Chag, and then what about the Acharemos bit that I said? So I must try to sort of at least put my foot in the door here to explain. I have more points here than I think I have time for, but so we'll see what we can do. The famous vort that we say about Acharemos Kedoshim Emor, after the patira of somebody, that's when suddenly you realize they were Kedoshim. You do see that. You really do see that with regards to Nodom and Avihu. When Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron HaKohen, says to his brother, he says, Bikroiva Akash, that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu meant. He wasn't just saying, there, Aaron, I'm going to find a way to comfort. And really, they were better people than us. And I'm not telling him the truth, but just making him feel better. That's not, Moshe Rabbeinu is MS. There's no way that he was just saying that to make Aaron feel better. He really meant that. There was something about Nodav and Avihu that was on a higher level than Moshe and Aaron themselves, which sounds, if Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't say it, it would be impossible for us to be able to say it. But Kroi Vaya Kodesh, at this high point, at a high point after the consecration of the Mishkan, and suddenly everything comes crashing down with tragedy. Well, one of my Rebbeim points out, I think apparently the Leshem speaks about this. I say apparently, I haven't seen it, but that you find at every juncture in Tanakh and further in Jewish history as well, but certainly you see it in Tanakh. Every time there is a high point, there seems to be a tragedy attached to it straight away. And it somehow, I don't profess to understand exactly what this means about Shoichad to the Soton. I've seen these words, Rav Dessler speaks about it somewhere, but there's always some tragedy attached to it. The Egel Azov at Matan Torah, Nodav and Avihu, and you find this time and time again, that there is some, and yet we are meant to emerge from that. And that's why I was thinking the idea of life after death. The idea that sometimes when you think that the Yom Tov is over, the Yom Tov is, so to speak, finished, died, Chas v'Shalom, but in that way, but it's over, but no, we're meant to know how to take that into life after something is finished. After Nodav and Avihu have died, you think that should be the end of the celebration, and no, you look at the Pesukim, you look at the Mefarshim on the Pesukim, no, it continues. There is Lakol Zaman, the Eis Tefol Chefetz, Tachas HaShemayim, we know that there is a time for everything. There is a time for Hesped, but which is not Isru Chag, as we've already pointed out. But there is a time after that to continue. Klal Yisrael have always been taught we're not meant to wallow. We're not meant to... what one needs to grieve at a time of grieving, then one needs to move on. It's pertinent to me this time of year in the month of Iyar, both my parents, a year apart from each other, were niftar. And I remember hearing this from people and experiencing this, that there is a time that one is meant to experience it, and then one is meant to move on. You take the inspirational points, and you move on with it, and you grow. You grow from it. You don't necessarily see it on the outside. I saw Lahavdil, if I may quote an outside source, but there's a beautiful book called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse, and I saw this not so long ago. I can't remember the exact words, but one of the characters says that it's interesting that sometimes when you see is the exterior, but most of the work, most of what's happening is happening actually on the inside, and your feelings on how you're actually working on yourself. And Bikroi Vaya Kodesh, I was thinking, actually, Tucker, we need that to back up our Pesukim, but there is definitely something in that. I started thinking about the word Isru Chag itself, this word Chag, which is not an elusive word, but a word which seems to have many, many connections with many different roots. We know that the idea of Pesach, my Rebbe Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal, was very, very big into speaking about. We all know this, that Pesach is about emunah, but we know that everything over Pesach is about a refinement of speech. The middle which we're meant to work on is how to refine speech. We know that in everything about the mitzvahs on Seder night, the Haggadah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even if one was alone for Seder night, one asks one question, the questions to oneself. Imagine sitting by yourself, because I'd like to ask you a question. Sure, what's your question? Well, the following, like, what's this? It's, you're meant to speak it out. We know, and all the Divrei Torah that we've heard about Paroi from Miloshen Peh Ra, the mouth that enticed, that spoke in the wrong way, and then along comes Moshe Rabbeinu, who ostensibly is Aral Sfasayim, and yet he's Shechinah Medaber Metokoroino, Peh Soch, the mouth that speaks, and we're meant to be Mesakin, all of that. We've got Sipur Yetzias, we've got Sefira Sa'omer, you've got asking questions, and it's speaking, asking, singing, expressing things through the mouth. And it's obvious. It's so obvious that the tikkun of what happens, and through Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim, which is a massive mistake to think that they just hurled insults at each other. These were the Gedolei Olam. It was so close. It was so close to Moshiach. So close that. But on their level, it seems to be that there are Makoris that tell us that where was the failure was on a very, very, very subtle high level, that when they were learning together, they didn't always quote their sources. I can't profess to do this every time I've learnt with somebody to say, do you remember what so and so said? And so in the heat of a chavrus, you don't necessarily remember to quote every single part. And because of that, because of their high level, the opposite of Geula happened. We know Ha'omer Dovah B'Shem Omroi Mevi Geula La'olam. Ha'omer Dovah B'Shem Omroi. And we know Mordechai and Esther. We know if Esther hadn't said it in the name of Mordechai, then the Geula wouldn't have happened. So we know that there is this idea of a purification, of our dibur. And it's not unconnected with Emunah. We have a Soras Chesed al Lashonah, the idea of Chesed, Chesed and Emunah from the same root. Avraham Avinu was the pillar of Chesed, but yet he's also the man who represents Emunah. It can't be that if he's meant to represent one of the Amudim, that they are two separate things. They must be two parts of the same thing. Toras Chesed al Lashonah, we know that there is a refinement of speech that's meant to come through Pesach, through Sfira Sa'omer, through just before I started speaking, words of Shmiras, being careful with Shmiras Aloshon. These are ideas that are known. And it occurred to me that if this is what we're trying to take from Pesach into the rest of the year, let's have a look at what this word Chag is. So I went to Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch to see what he says and see the etymology of the word Chag. So we know some of it already, that the chagiga, kol chagiga, etc. But we know that chogag, chug, etc. These are circles. A cycle. We know that the idea of the circle, the cycle of the year. It's strictly speaking, it's not. I may have spoken about this before, and it's probably Yodua, to everyone here, that the Jewish view of time is not a perfect circle. There are those amongst other cultures who think that either time is linear, A happens, then B happens, then C happens, then D. Any repetition of something that happened previously is pure coincidence, they say. Or there's the vicious cycle that history repeats itself, which is the big misconception that people think that's what Sefer Shoftim is about. It's not. It's a refinement each time. It's a spiral that each time, I'm no good at math, but there's an x-axis and a y-axis. Every time you get to the same point on the x or the y-axis, you end up with if it's the same on the x-axis, it's different on the y-axis as you draw a spiral. There is a Pesach fixed time every year, it's a moyed, it's fixed time. But if you are the same person you were last Pesach, you haven't grown. You're flatlining, there's something gone wrong. Your Rosh Hashanah should be different from the previous Rosh Hashanah. You're meant to grow, you're meant to move from that. That's the idea of the circle of to be choygeg, to celebrate the chag, which I know that it's used more about sukkahs, but it is definitely something that's a word that's used legabe Pesach, as you can see. I started looking through, and I thought it was quite amazing that you find very similar roots. Let's see if I can read my own writing. You have the root Ches Gimel Hei, which is the Chagvei Asela, the clefts in the rock, Yoinosib Chagvei Asela, as we know from Shir Shirim. That's breaking a flat surface, so creating an unevenness. It's almost like what we're doing with the matzah. But you have Chogov, which is some kind of grasshopper, and the idea of jumping, the idea of what Pesach is. Pesach is about a moed which is connected to time, but beyond time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, jumps. You have Ches Gimel Aleph, which is to tremble, from the Pesach in Yeshaya. This is amazing. I was actually blown away by this. I wish I had half an hour to speak about each one of these, but I don't, sorry. So it says in Yeshaya, the hoyso admas Mitzrayim l'chogo, that the ground of Mitzrayim, it's amazing, will be trembling. That this is the antithesis of what Klal Yisrael experienced by being connected, and of course Mosneichem Chagurim, the idea of being connected through the belt. A belt is something which at one point separates the top half from the lower half, the idea of a gartel, it also is the thing that holds the things together, something that binds. Those are two things which are very, very important when I'm cognizant of the time, and I'm not halfway through, so I'm going to try and speed. I hope this is making sense, because I'm speeding through this. So I heard in the name of Rav Moshe, Rav Mordechai Nissel actually speaks about this in the book that he brought out about Rav Moshe. But if you've heard Shirim from Rav Moshe, this would be familiar to us. That the months, the months of Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, they as every month has its own muzzle, which also, by the way, is from the word noizel, something which connects to a higher source, to a makor. It's not zodiac, it's not luck. It's just the opposite of that. It's something which connects to a makor. The month of Nisan is the tleh, the lamb, which is, I mean, it's obvious even without going further. Some of the connections. Iyar is the shor, the ox. And Sivan is the Ta'omim, is the twins, or perhaps a better translation, as Rav Nissel points out, is partners rather than twins. You'll see why in a moment. Because the Teleh, the docile lamb, is the animal that was taken and tied to the bedpost before the Korban Pesach was brought. So they would wake up in the morning and see that was meant to be the Egyptian deity. There's nothing the Egyptians can do about it, because we are connected, tied to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Kesher, the Isru Chag. And in fact, there are Makoris, which I haven't got to, which indicate that there was that before bringing various Korbanos, the day before one would bring one's Korban, one would tie it to one's bedpost. Not necessarily just the Korban Pesach. This is to show your connection, to show your, obviously to make sure it doesn't get a mum as well, but this is the idea of the teleh, the docile lamb, but connected. The shor is something which is a sign of independence, and sivan, the taimim, the twins or partners, I should say, is us connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after us in Nisan. He then takes a step back, kaviyochel, in Iyar. That's why, and again, another 3 hours, maybe. I think I spoke here once about the want for independence. But that's Isarusa de la Elo in Nissan, Isarusa de la Sata, us working towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why the month of Iyar says Sefi Yetzira, apparently. I've seen inside. But the letter that's associated with the month of Iyar is the letter Vov. A Vov is a hook, as in Ve'ela Mishpatim. It's something which connects. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to connect. He wants this closeness. And the problem with the closeness, because the idea of closeness is beautiful. It's the idea that we want to be close with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're not independent of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is what Paroi, who says the Tanin HaGodol, that's why by Hila Sanin, that the Tanin HaGodol, who's in the Nile, that says Li Yoiri Anisisin, I'm a self-made man, says Paroi. The original Nochosh is the one who says to Adam, hey, eat from the fruit, V'yisim Kelukim, you'll be independent, and all the problems that happened from there. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu catches the tannin by the tail, and it, suddenly it's a matter. But if you get too close, If you say, I want to be partnered with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you get burned. As we know from Pirkei Avos, that be careful from the Chachomim, because you get burned if you're too close. The Gecholim, the coals of getting too close. Nodav and Avihu's connection, it's not that they got drunk, or they decided to remain single, or that they were looking to take over, or they went lifnai v'lifnim stam. All of these things were such a teshuka, such a taiva to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the boundaries were down, the barriers came down. So the drinking, as we know from another number of points on drinking to do with Purim and Pesach, and the idea of there being no barriers, of trying to go lifnai v'lifnim, but if you get too close, then you shed this mortal coil. You leave the physical world. This is what happened to Nodav and Avihu. All those ideas, not wanting to have to be involved in any other relationship other than with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, taking over doesn't mean we want to be the leaders, so to speak. They want to have that the closest closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fire, the warmth of a relationship, the opposite of Amalek, all of these things. That's the Kesher that Nodav and Avihu wanted. Their closeness, their too much closeness, basically led them to shed the physicality, and they ended up dying. Acharemus kadoshim emor, what the bikroiva kodesh, is something that we've all struggled with for ever thinking about Nodav and Avihu. How can that have created the Kiddush Hashem? Is through this we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, transcendent yet imminent, we want to get as close as we can without obviously overstepping the boundaries. Moshe comments on this to Aaron and says, "Bikroiv HaKadosh," you understand through their error on their level what it means to be close, so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be so, yes, the Isru Chag of theirs, but Avosim Ad Karnes HaMizbech was too close. They were literally the not just Bilvovi Mishkan Evner, this was actually the actual selves were in the end tied, so to speak, to the Mizbeach. And we understand that when that happens, we see the resolution as, I mean, I haven't got to the Chassam Sofer, who speaks about Isru Chag, about comparing us to the nations of the world. When you think about the I'll finish with this, with the Umos HaOlam, famously, who ask for one mitzvah to try. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests them with the mitzvah of Sukkah, and as we know, and it's a classic one that people like to use in Shiurim because it's very emotive. When they leave the Sukkah in the heat, and they kick the Sukkah door, and they go back in, and then the Gemara asks, but they're potter. And then it was, but did you have to kick it? Because if you want the relationship, you should be sad that you're not able to do that. You should be sad that Yom Tov is finished. You should be sad, not that you can't listen to music during the Omer, but for the reason that you can't listen to music during the Omer. If we begin to understand that, we begin to understand what we said, what Rav Heinrich of Alexander said, that we need to be able to tie that knot, that the inspiration doesn't dissipate, and then acharemus kadoshim emor, we are able to refine ourselves further. If what I said didn't make sense, that's because I was trying to rush too many things and tried to see many things in one go. If it did, then that's thanks to my Rebbeim, not to me. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and have a wonderful Isru Chag, full of a minimal but extra eating and drinking.
And you?
Yeah. Amazing guys.